ta mata mahi a ma te maia te tiro whakamua me te hihiri kataia te arahi I roto I te kotaitanga me te aroha. And one thing I'd also like to mention is that I'd love to be able to support some fellow councillors to learn this. So if you're keen, get in touch with me.
What's
and I'm
challenge?
Happy to run a few Zoom sessions because I'd love to be able to take turns with others on speaking this in Māori.
Have you got a suggestion for the next councillor to do this?
I nominate Gwyn Compton.
Oh, cool.
I knew that was going to happen as well.
Right, item number three, apologies. Do you have any apologies? No. Nobody's hand has gone up. Number four, declarations of interest relating to items on the agenda. I've not been informed of any. You go on to item number five, public speaking time. Do we have anybody in public speaking time? I know we have had some technical difficulties of trying to arrange this. Janice, are you here? Janice McDougall.
Yes, I'm here.
Can you, I know we've had an arm wrestling from yesterday and this morning around access to public speaking time. Would you like to state the staff position on this?
So the staff position on this is that for this, our first virtual council meeting, which is different in its nature and in its significance to the virtual briefings that we've had to date, we were wanting to have this first meeting and see that we could successfully conduct business with you before adding in the additional complexity of public participation during the meeting. So by live streaming this meeting and making it available for people to view afterwards, we are satisfying the legislative requirements that we need to satisfy at this stage. I appreciate that councillors are keen to see us create opportunities for public participation in council meetings. There are some technical and security matters that we are still working through and would like to resolve more fully before we move to that. We are aware that there are other councils that are offering these opportunities for future meetings, and that is certainly something that we want to move towards. But in terms of taking a crawl, walk, run kind of approach to running council meetings in this very new way for us, proceeding without significant public participation for our first meeting was definitely the approach that we have taken.
Right. Bernie, you have a question?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, this concerns me because it was notified on the agenda that there's public speaking time. At least two residents contacted me, and there is concern out in the community. If the council staff could not provide public speaking, I think it should not have been on the agenda, Mr. Mayor.
Any response to that?
Yeah, so I appreciate that that is something that has created potentially some confusion and some uncertainty, and that is something that we should have provided some different messaging on. I'm happy to acknowledge that. I don't believe that we have received an influx of requests to into our democracy services team to participate in public speaking time. I know that you as elected members have received some requests. I don't believe the number in terms of people that have contacted the council is huge, but I'm happy to be corrected by one of the DEM services staff if that's not the case.
Right. Can I just go on to the next item? Given we apologise to those people, I know two, GREPA and also Carbon Neutral, wanted to speak. Right to the last moment, we're still arm wrestling and stuff, but it hasn't happened. So I apologise on behalf of the governance.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, we do have Mr. Trevor Daniels available if you'd like him to speak.
Oh, he's available.
Yep. Shall I pop him through?
And potentially same with then Low Carbon Kapiti, because they're ready to go as well if that was possible.
I've had no contact from Low Carbon Kapiti.
Okay. I was told that if I pass the details on to DEM services, which I did through Grayson, that could happen, but
Just bear with me, Councillor.
Can we hear Trevor Daniel while you're trying to contact?
Mr. Daniels, are you with us? Just waiting for his audio to come online.
Is it okay, Tanika, if I just send Low Carbon Kathy the link and they can come into the waiting room?
I just need to know who their identifier is.
Yeah, Alison Lash. Oh, is that okay?
Yep.
Cool.
We're just waiting for Mr. Daniels to connect. Welcome, Mr. Daniels.
Thank you. Thank you. Took a struggle.
You now have the floor.
Okay. The meeting's not being screened. Is that correct?
It's been live streamed. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yep, it is.
Oh, it's not come up on my computer, other computer. Okay. I've given every councillor, sent an email to every councillor last night, and I really don't have much more to add that except to say that perception is everything. I said that at the start, and despite what Mr. Maxwell has said in response, which I understand each councillor has, there still is a community response, a community view of what it's about and what the council's doing. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question?
Bernie.
Trevor, you spoke, one of your concerns was the Kapiti Gateway and Otoroa Park. Could you briefly comment on that, please?
Well, I was around when the Otoroa Park was originally mooted by Tony Leslie, and the object was it was for future use when enough people became involved in sport that they needed to use that park. Well, I don't know whether that has been reached yet, whether it's necessary to use it, and whether in fact it's now going to be necessary. And when you consider that people will not be involved in sport so much, that's becoming pretty obvious. And we're relying upon tourism to support the Gateway project. I just wonder where the people are coming from to go through the Gateway. The numbers going to Kapiti Island are determined by DOC. Not by just a demand. You have to apply, well, I did anyway, had to apply to the doc to get permission to go, and then they told me to go and approach gave me a permit, and I approached one of the two people who were supporting it. I just wonder if in fact these people who are using the Gateway are going to be the ones that will eventually pay for it.
Okay, we've got James Coates. James.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, James.
Look, just responding around the Otoroa Park, I do agree with you in the sense that there is a question over whether, I guess, the large groups, whether you'll have large groups of people using a facility like that over the next 12 months. But I do want to just comment around the when the park was originally mooted. If you look at the photo of the councillors and the mayor standing in the park, you'll see that I'm in the background there. So I was around as well at the time. And I just want to check whether you're aware that at the time we were already at capacity with some of our sports fields. So although there was a long-term view for that part, there was some demand in the short term around the sporting facilities, hence why the sports fields were established very early on to help cope with that demand, and hence why the proposal there is for the facilities to assist with that as well. So that is my understanding. And I'm interested in whether you knew the background around that as to the demand on the existing sports fields around specific codes like football and rugby and so forth.
No, I wasn't aware that it was at full demand. I thought it was going to be a bit like the swimming pool where the aquatic centre where it was said that demand from outside would increase its usage, where in fact we don't think that that's happened.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure if you go back and read the previous articles, there was demand on our sports fields at the time, but the bigger projects like the indoor sports stadium or event centre, whatever it is, that is the more long-term stuff. The second one is around the gateway. The domestic tourism, I mean, would you acknowledge that visitors to the area to go to Kapiti Island will spend locally? They'll shop at local shops and cafes. So there is an economic benefit from the visitors. And my understanding is that you could double the numbers going to the island and still not reach the numbers that DOC have allocated for Kapiti Island.
I'm pleased to hear that, but will the spend be in the gateway or be in the local shops?
Well, I mean, I guess that's part of the challenge in terms of making the project work. The second question that I had was around a significant part of this project, and the reason why it's been considered at the moment is because we have the ability to get a reasonable amount of money from the Provincial Growth Fund. So as a ratepayer, would you rather we delay this project and therefore delay the economic benefit, but then also be at risk of having to fund the entire project directly from rates rather than 50% of the project from the Provincial Growth Fund? And then I have a last question after that.
So if you don't get the money from the Provincial Growth Fund, will you still proceed?
I'll leave staff to answer that one, but my understanding, because the question has been asked by councillors, is that not at the same pace, Trevor. So as said, staff, possibly the chief executive could provide a clearer answer around that. Lastly, the actual, and I'm happy to be corrected on this, but the actual impact on rates, because it's a capital expense and it's funded through debt funding rather than rates, is rather minimal. So if we were to withdraw that project, you would not see rates drop to 1% just by withdrawing that project. And I just wondered whether you knew that it's capital expended and not operational.
Yes, I knew, and I understand that the effect is minimal, but again, it's perception, public perception, that you talk, that the paper mentions in several places. And this is another one where public perception's there. Perhaps better information from the council, especially about the possibility of funding through the Provincial Growth Fund, would ease people's thoughts on that.
Thank you, Trevor. I'm sure that's been noted. And that's all from me. Thanks, Guru.
Thank you.
Next,
Councillor Elliott.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Trevor. I wondered if you, as representative of the older community, would see benefit in the gateway being utilised as a day trip destination for all our elderly people to go and sit in there and listen to the live audio of the birdsong on Kapiti Island. And I have two more questions.
I wouldn't know. And that's perhaps part of the business case that should have been, that should be produced.
Okay, thank you. My second question, you know, thank you for alerting us, the council, to public perception at this difficult time. Do you think it would look better if we went ahead with it all today and then deferred the actual build to start in the early in the new year, when hopefully everyone will be in some sort of a recovery from this event?
As long as that was made clear to the public. That's the answer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do realise that a build between September, October, November this year will be right in the thick of the economic impacts, according to all forecasts. Now, people will be really suffering. So perhaps just your advice on whether or not maybe we should put it forward till the new year, have a nice big fresh start, and the funding sitting there waiting to go.
If it were anything that relieves the pressure on people through the rate for any costs, will be seen as a benefit in the community.
Okay, thank you so much.
We're going to see. We don't know yet what the effect will be on the community. That's part of the problem, and the problem with rates, of course, is you set them at the start of the year, and that's it.
Yep, true. Thank you, Trevor, and take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Right, James, have you got your hand up again?
Trevor, I just wanted to come back to you about your comments about informing the community. If you have a look at page 23 of the paper, and at point 116, the recommendation there approves a delegation for the information document to be comprised by the mayor, the deputy mayor, and so forth. So I take I take on board your comments, and would just respond that we will be looking at trying to make that information clear through that document.
Thank you, and I hope you don't. Yeah, and it's good to see that you're going to put it in with the rates demand, because the reliance upon websites is lost upon a large part of the population. I mean, 1,000 of our members don't have email.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Trevor. Wish you well.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Do we have the carbon neutral speaker? Alison, is it?
She's in the waiting room.
Yep, Alison Lash, I'll just get her through now. Alison Lash is just connecting.
Oh, nothing's happening.
Hi, Alison.
Hello.
Hi, there she is.
You now have the floor.
Welcome, Alison.
Morning, our councillors. Thank you for making this happen. It's at such short notice. KCDC, the little council that could. I just wanted to talk with you this morning a bit about you won't be surprised about climate change. It's a topic that's always, you know, dear to my heart, as you know. Most of you know me from previous incarnations on this. We were really encouraged to when the council declared a climate emergency last year. Well done. And then, of course, the election came along and everything went into its normal hiatus. And now, of course, there's been COVID-19, and it's perfectly understandable that a lot of the council officer effort has been diverted into dealing with you know, something as major as COVID-19. However, that having said that, we're going to have to put a lot of effort, all of us, including the council, into some kind of recovery from this. And the groups that I'm working with, which is the Kapiti Climate Change Action Group and the Low Carbon Kapiti, are really keen that effort that gets put in not be diverted away from a focus on climate change. And maybe this is front of all your minds. I don't know at this point, but I thought it was important to put up our hands and say we think that there should be a real focus on this as we move into a new future. And so to that end, we've put together a document that we're calling a Green Recovery for Kapiti. It's the part of a petition currently, but it's available as a standalone document. And we will send it to the council as an open letter. What we're saying basically is that, as the Climate Change Commissioner has recently recommended, we should look at the economic recovery through a climate change lens. Kapiti voters will expect the council to be part of making changes for the better. We can try, probably unsuccessfully, to go back to the way things were, including all the downsides of that in terms of inequality and environmental degradation. Or we can chart a course for the better, for a better, more equitable and more sustainable and more livable future. That course, that latter course, will require of us a great deal less pain and effort in the medium to long term. It's going to be pain and effort anyway, but there will be less if we focus on the recovery that takes us out of the climate change disaster that we're currently in. Lots of organisations have put forward green recovery programs, and we support their suggestions wholeheartedly.
Tanika speaking.
Sorry? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear what that was you said. Okay. I shall keep going. So we've put forward this document, and we'd really recommend that you have a look at it. We will send it to you as a letter. Our principles are that all policy and infrastructure developments will help make us more resilient to climate change and prepare us for a sustainable future, that projects are based on sound environmental principles, that projects have new and future-focused job creation opportunities through the development of renewable resources and green technologies, that KCDC ensures that climate change is considered for relevance in all council decisions and addressed wherever necessary, and that councils use the new powers that are going to come, hopefully, through the IRMA to ensure that climate change is taken into consideration. So that's coming to you. I urge you to have a look at it, and I urge you to adopt the program of work that we're suggesting in that letter. And thank you for listening to me this morning. And
Alison, just hang on there. I've got two other questions. Councillor Angela Buswell.
Yep.
Good morning. Thank you, Alison, for coming in to chat to us. Just out of curiosity, I mean, there's a lot of talk about how the environment is already responding really quite quickly from this worldwide shutdown. Could you, or do you know of any case studies that have been done, particularly around the impact that it's had on local businesses or local families, just so people can feel a little more connected to rather than a big picture, just a small picture as to what's happening in Kapiti itself?
I don't know of any studies that have been done at all. And I guess anything like that would be published through the media, which have all, of course, gone into pretty much into hibernation, the local media. But no, sorry, I don't know about that. I mean, obviously, there will be all sorts of local effects, and I'm particularly concerned about the impacts in our areas of social deprivation in the community, particularly Wataki, obviously, but there are others.
Okay, thank you.
Right, I've got Councillor Gwyn Compton and then Jack Elliott.
Thank you for speaking to us today, Alison. It's looking forward to receiving it for you. And sort of on that, I was wondering, is that green recovery plan for Kapiti available online anywhere? Because you mentioned it was attached to a petition. So, you know, I want to obviously get a jump start on everyone else at looking at and seeing what's in it.
Yes, it is. Sophie, Councillor Hanford can tell you where to find it.
Yeah, I can send it out as an email to all of you. It's an open letter on change.org, so I'll flip that out after the meeting today. So I just also wanted to say very quickly, thank you so much, Alison, for joining in for all of the work that Low Carbon Kathy and Carbon Foundation Group have been doing. You guys are awesome and working so hard. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you line up, put your hands up when you're going to speak? Gwen, are you finished? Gwen, have you finished?
Yep, I'm finished.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Elliott, then Janet Holbrook.
Thank you for speaking, and I've been really, really excited about the positive environmental changes we noticed across the world, not just here in Kapiti. I want to know, and I think it's really important that your document become part of a formal submission, not only to us, but also to the Greater Wellington Regional Council. Is that going to be done?
Yes, that's the intention. You'll see in the document that it focuses on both the regional and the local level, and we're debating whether to turn it into a slightly different document for GW or whether it just goes as it is. But yes, it's a work in progress at this point.
Oh, that's lovely, because it would the chairperson of the Climate Committee for Greater Wellington has already gone on the media and said that he is very excited about the an environmentally sustainable economic recovery. Yep. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Janet Holbrook. We can see you.
Right. Thank you. Sorry, I kept muting it and then they kept unmuting it. I'm so glad you could come and speak to us today, Alison, because I think this is such an important message for us to get and to get right now as we move from our response to recovery. And I think this advocacy role that you're playing is absolutely brilliant and very timely. Two questions. First of all, are you approaching the community boards in the same way and further down into the communities, advocating for community groups to access some of the significant funding that's available in community development grants in the near future? Do you see that as a role for your organisation, to be that kind of support in order for those community initiatives to avail themselves of the opportunities that are presenting themselves at present at a national level?
It's not something that we have discussed at this point. We were focused, I mean, this document was only finished basically yesterday. It's been in gestation over the last week. And so we haven't really thought about how, you know, further than taking it to the councils, how we might do that. However, we are thinking about the possibility of organising some community engagement events of some description at a local level to stimulate a community conversation around this whole issue. So, that sort of thing would presumably be part of that.
Brilliant. Thank you. And thanks for speaking today. It's just wonderful. Thanks.
Can we have Jocelyn Pravnov now?
Thank you, Alison, for coming along today. Well, actually, speaking to us today, it's been great. So this is a conversation that has sort of gone around some of the councillors. And one of the things that I just wanted to, just have a quick conversation about or make some comments about was the fact that we've been forced into, many of us have been forced into working from home. And what that's meant is that there has been a massive reduction in the number of vehicles on the roads, which, of course, has reduced the amount of petrol that's been spent and also carbon emissions. And I suppose this, to me, this is actually, and moving forward, we want to recovery. A lot of people are saying about how we want to go back to the old norm, but I think really there needs to be some real thought about how we can take and make that, take some of the real positives like reducing vehicle usage and carrying that forward. And this is actually probably a national thing about encouraging people more about working at home, for example. And, I hope that, that those are some of the thoughts that you've been thinking about. That's just one thing that's just crossed my mind.
Yes, it's in the document. It's one of our recommendations is that the council is part of encouraging people to find working ways of working that mean that there's less commuting going on. It's been a huge plus. I mean, you know, talk about every cloud has a silver lining. It's been an enormous plus for all sorts of, from all sorts of points of view, alongside all the tragedy and horrible stuff that's been part of it as well. But yes, it's definitely part of our focus.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alison, for your considered response. And your first, this is really good to be able to participate online with our submitters. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
We're now on to item number 5 and number 6, members' business. Public speaking time responses. Mr. Chief Executive, you got a response to any of the questions that was raised?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think the one.
You had an aeroplane behind your back.
That is indeed. It's near Chatham's DC3 at Carpet Eagle. And I'm in the background, but you can't see me. The one question that I think was referred to us was if the Gateway building doesn't receive PGF funding, would we proceed? That's ultimately a decision for you as councillors. We would bring you a paper. You've already heard me say, though, that I believe we would put it on hold and reassess funding. That would probably be the essence of advice from me to you for a decision at the appropriate time.
Right. Would you like to elaborate on the fact that the capital expenditure is also a kickstarter for a whole lot of economic activity?
Sure. Yes. Look, it was really interesting for those of you who participated or watched the webinar by Shamabil Yakub just recently. Many local government attendees at it. The link is still there. We can send it to you if you wish. And we are actually arranging for him to come and speak to you at some point in the next few weeks, because he understands local government. And he had a really interesting insight that the worst thing local government could do is to embark on an austerity program. So this is him speaking, not me. Obviously, I do agree with his points. He said that, to give you some context, $1 million of council money spent on rates relief will support 8.5 jobs. $1 million spent on capital investment, so that would be the interest costs of that capital investment, will support 155 jobs. So the worst thing we could do is pull back on our capital expenditure in terms of sustaining our economy and supporting jobs. That was his point, and I think that's the sort of thing that we need to think carefully about as we proceed. What you've heard me say a lot is we're going to have to assess the impacts, and that's still evolving, before we make too many rash decisions or hurried decisions. And so we don't want to use up all the tools in the toolkit in one hit, and we haven't, and we're trying to make sure we can get through the next 12 to 36 months in a sustainable way. But one of the things that the government is doing and that they're asking local government to do is to maximise your capital expenditure programs. And so that's what we are trying hard to assess and make sure that it's spent in the right areas. So I think that helps in terms of decision making as we go forward, that sort of input from the economists.
So, the Chief Executive, I think there are two hands gone up to ask questions. Martin Holliday, you've got a question for the Chief Executive.
Mr. Mayor, we're in public speaking response. Is it... happy to cover that sort of later, if that's okay, because I'm not sure if that's the way we should run.
They may have a question to ask on something that you've raised. Martin.
No, it's actually it's part of the response to Trevor and Alison.
No. We have, this is staff response to that.
Public, it says public speaking time responses. Yeah, so what's that, members' business? Is that not the case?
So what, okay then, what do you want to say?
Did you want to finish off with Wayne first?
I was asking if you
I don't have a question for... in relation to what Wayne's saying. I was just going to respond to both Trevor and Alison.
Okay. Go for it.
Oh, okay, all right. So the reason I've waited is I've been pulled up in the past for responding at the wrong wrong times. But anyway, look, Trevor, thank you very much for coming along. Absolutely fantastic to hear from you. I was just going to comment with regards to local tourism in the Gateway. We're under the impression, well, we've been told in no uncertain terms that we're going to be focused on local tourism for the next 12 or 24 months. I'm hopeful, well, I'd love to see the economic development team put a tourism strategy together around this very, very quickly. That's a focus. We don't really have a tourism strategy as such, so my hope is that that will be front and centre, and perhaps Angela could expand on that at some other stage. But that's where I'm hoping to see the development of a tourism strategy. The Gateway is a part of that. I also see things like the Whale Song that's touted by Marco Zilman as part of that. And there'll be other things that we can attract people to from a local tourism perspective as well. In regards to Alison, you talked about lenses. I just wanted to clarify that that has been discussed over the last few weeks by councillors. We talked about having lenses in regards to climate resilience and also for age friendly, and we've been assured that staff will be taking applying those lenses, and councillors were very, very adamant that they want those lenses applied as we move forward on the decision making processes. So just wanted to clarify that position as well, that we have considered that, we have taken that on board, and we certainly will be applying it as we move forward. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. Councillor Gwyn Compton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just, as you were saying, asking Wayne about some of the points he brought up there. Have we had any further updates on whether the government will be providing any financial support for local government if they're wanting us to undertake more capital spending on top of everything else they keep delegating to us without providing either direct financial support or giving us more diverse funding tools?
Can I just respond with a sigh?
Unfortunately, I thought that was going to be the answer.
Next question.
So the government's wanting us to fund the double tracking and electrification up to Ōtaki, and then we'll rent the tracks back to Greater Wellington Council and KiwiRail.
Choo choo.
That's all from me.
So, Chief Executive, are you not going to raise up to the bait?
I tried and just got thrown out, so that might have been sending me a message. I now seem to be looking at you differently, so I don't know what the heck's happened at my end. But my answer was a big sigh, really. All the guidance we've received so far is that the government is going to help us with guidance. And it's going to put in place a whole lot of reporting structures so that they've got good data about what's going on. So I've got later today a session with local government chief executives where we'll be talking about some of this and trying to understand where they are getting to. It's fair to say that at the moment they don't see us as something, as a sector that needs assistance. They expect us to be part of what's providing assistance. And the point that I'm trying to make on your behalf back is how difficult that is in your world when you've already heard both sides of things today. Get your rates down, and by the way, don't forget this, that, or the other thing that needs to be done. So just trying to portray that this is a really difficult environment for you to make decisions without upsetting somebody. So we're working on it, but no, I haven't got any sense of the sort of support that we could really benefit from at this stage.
I suppose just to follow up on that, have we had any visibility on whether the Epidemic Response Committee at Parliament is going to do anything with local government? They seem to be doing every other sector under the sun except us, and obviously some of the bigger councils, I think, as you've alluded to before. So if you're Auckland or if you're Wellington, we've got shares in an airport, and that's obviously not going to be delivering dividends anytime soon. So, yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of councils that have varying economic impacts from COVID-19. So it would strike me as something that you'd hope would get brought up onto that committee's agenda as well, especially with the role that we're expected to play in terms of supporting the response now, but also the longer-term recovery.
Look, I totally agree with what you're saying. I have had no sign that they are doing something through that committee, but it's actually a good question to ask today. I think we should be allowed our time to speak as a sector. I also think this is a great time for us to actually form real partnership with them, if they're willing, if we can get their attention. And that's definitely a government goal that I'd like to see us really, really push quite hard, because there's a lot of messages and a lot of misinformed messages out there already, in my view. What we do is frustrate me when people don't understand our circumstances. And so we do need to be out there talking about that.
Right.
Thank you.
We've got Councillor Elliott and then Councillor Coates.
Thank you. One of the most direct responses from government that I've seen was in the last 6 days. Economic Development Minister Phil Twyford made the statement that he did not encourage councils to slash their rates. In fact, it could cost us government funding. His exact words was, if we want government to be a partner, investing alongside councils in our communities, the government expects us to use our balance sheet to do our bit. And he recommended that there not be any reductions in rates in response to COVID-19. So if you hadn't seen that press release, that's what it says.
Thank you. Councillor James Coates and then Councillor Holbrook.
Wayne, it's sort of leading on from Gwyn's question. With the our council, along with other councils around the country responding to COVID-19, there comes a cost to that was unbudgeted. I think from memory you've said there's over 30 staff directly involved in COVID response activities, whether it's in the EOC centre or driving a health shuttle and so forth. Are we just keeping track of the actual cost as best we can, so that if the conversation comes up we are able to articulate what the cost has been to the ratepayer? And I guess I'm partly thinking, if there is an opportunity down the track for some funding around COVID response, we've got some details.
Yes, we are. There aren't a great number of direct costs that we've had to pay, which I guess is a good thing. But yes, the big cost is the amount of staff time that has gone into that. And whilst we've done our best to use staff who otherwise couldn't be working, so, you know, we've diverted as many out of the aquatics and libraries, for example, as we can, whole teams have been diverted into helping in that space. And in fact, we've had up over 70 staff at peak working on shifts in the response. That's a quarter of our workforce or more. And we are definitely pulling together a record of what that is costing. It's significant, and it's kind of unrecognised, obviously. And as I've advised you before, the government at this stage does not believe that they will provide the wage support to us on the basis that we won't have lost 30% of our revenue. Our pools have lost 100% of their revenue, but they're not going to let us say it's just the pools. Ironically, if the pools was in an external organisation, and I'm not saying that's a good reason to do it, because it's not, yeah. not to be thinking about this situation, but, you know, we've lost all of our revenue from things like that, and yet we still have to pay the costs, because the day they want the pools open, we have to be ready to go, don't we? There are significant costs. It will be, I'm guessing it'll be north of $500,000, well north.
Could we expect a report back to council on those figures at the appropriate time, within the next 12 months or 18 months, for staff to bring a report back on those direct costs?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, we can. Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne.
Councillor Jocelyn Brabnoff, then I'm going to move to the next item.
So thank you. Just following up on Councillor Coutts's comments and your comments, Wayne. So you're saying that about a quarter of the staff have been diverted into other activities. So I'm just interested if you're able to provide any information about what actually BAU is not happening at council and what impacts that's going to have further down the line.
It'll probably be best if we wrap that all up in a sort of a review report. It's fair to say about the worst thing we could do right now is our staff to prepare a report on what they're not doing right now.
So
I'm really under a heap of pressure.
I appreciate that. So I'm not necessarily asking, I don't even necessarily want it in a report, but just to know that there's some areas in terms of normal BAU that aren't happening that, you know, are problematic. Obviously some areas like parks and reserves, there's probably a lot less work happening there, but in some respects there might be different sorts of works there. I don't know, in terms of contractors, there's probably a lot less there, but that might have changed over the last few days. I don't know. But, I just wanting to know, what negative effects are going to result or are resulting from.
I think the chief executive has said that we probably need to approach this through a proper report. Having said that, I've been quite liberal in the sense that this is well beyond the public speaking time responses. So unless the chief executive has got an immediate response, I want to go on to the next item.
All I'd say is if there's a specific area you're worried about, ask us and we'll tell you. But everything has been slowed down.
I suppose the question, if you don't actually know what question to ask, then you can't answer it. But anyway, I'm happy to move on. Thank you.
Right. The next item is leave of absence. Any leaves of absence? Put your hands up and tell us. Nope, everybody's going to be present. I suppose being online, we can do this even though you're in Timbuktu. Right, there's none. Item number 6, matters of an urgent nature. I've not been informed of any. Item number 7, mayor's report. There's no mayor's report. We now come to item 8, 8.1, phase 1 of the sustainable community support package. And the staff member reporting on this is group manager for corporate services, Mark Dehas.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, through you. Good morning, elected members, council officers, and members of the public that might be live streaming. I'm going to largely take the report as read, but I am going to just be working through my agenda, and I'll just touch on the key points as we go through. So if you do want to follow me as I'm speaking, I'm on page 6 of the agenda. And this report, as it says, is phase 1 sustained community support package. So there's a number of recommendations that we're considering to vote on page 9. But principally, the purpose of this report is for you to retrospectively approve council's multi-stage community support package, specifically phase 1. Sustained community support package that was publicly announced on the 9th of April. I'm on page 6 and I'm really landing on paragraph 6. So as you know, there's been significant announcements from central government in terms of financial support to individual businesses over the last 5 weeks. And as stated in the report, it's not the intention of this report to provide you chapter and verse of what that support is and what it entails. It's more lightly touched on just to give you a greater awareness that there is support from the government available to businesses and individuals. But the report goes on to say that it is also the council's role to support the community as well. So I'm now moving on to page 7 of the agenda. One of the points that Wayne's already mentioned in public speaking time, that when we first discussed this with yourselves on the 7th of February, we said that it's likely going to take some time to recover from COVID-19. And given that we don't fully understand the impacts that it's having on the community, we should not empty the toolkit in one go. And for that reason, we've proposed a multi-stage community support package. And the way in which we're approaching recovering from COVID-19 is in three stages. The first stage is what we call sustain. Second stage is restore. And that's as we sort of come out of level four, level three, level two, go to level one, and then, of course, rebuild. So that's the framework that we've used to package the community support packages. And today we're asking for you to approve the phase one sustain community support package. There are 11 components to that support package. And they're bullet pointed in paragraph 10, which is on page 7 of the agenda. So I'll just quickly run you through those bullet points. And this has obviously been publicly released. So first part of the community support package is that we will not be applying penalties to late payment of rates until the 30th of June 2020. The second bullet point is that we are providing a rates payment holiday to our ratepayers. That's for both property rates and water rates. And those are for instalments that fall due between the 1st of March 2020 to the 30th of June 2020. People that do want to make use of the ability to have a rates payment holiday must contact the council and must agree a repayment plan with the council. Important point that I should have stressed at the beginning is that this support package is for members of the community that are struggling financially from COVID-19. The third bullet point, or third part of the support package, is we will be waiving rent payments for 3 months for all council's major tenants. The finance team or council is committing to paying our suppliers faster than normal. So our standard payment terms are the 20th of the month following the date of the invoice. We are now committing to paying all supplier invoices within 7 days of receiving the invoice. For our customers, our non-rates customers that are struggling financially, we will be talking with them and can offer up to 90-day credit terms for them to settle those invoices. We will be looking to refund consent deposits and fees if an applicant applies to withdraw their application. For all our customers that have paid for food licenses, alcohol licenses, and outdoor dining licenses, those that have fully paid those, we will be refunding 1/4 of those fees to them, because obviously through the lockdown they haven't been able to trade. In terms of future procurement, from now onwards, we'll be increasing our weighting to try and procure as many of our services locally as possible. What we are doing now, and it's going extremely well, is that our community boards are repurposing their unallocated grants budgets for the current financial year. It's at their discretion. They are following the grant criteria as much as possible, but the funds are being repurposed to help those in the community struggling financially from COVID-19. We're also being flexible and encouraging repurposing of all remaining social investments grants in the current financial year. And the library book loans were extended by 6 weeks when we went into alert level 4 lockdown. In terms of process, for members of our community that would like to know more about this community support package, or would like to take one of these components up, they can contact the council via two telephone numbers, or they can actually go onto our website and they can register their interests online. We have a team that are set up to return the telephone calls, monitor the applications that are come on our website, follow up with those people that are applying, assist them and help them with those applications. I would like to report that as of today, as the report said, at the time of writing this report, we had 18 applications. We now have 48 applications that have been received by the council. Just under half of them are asking for a rate payment holiday, and 17% of them are either withdrawing their consent applications or will be being provided a 25% refund for those licences above. In terms of the further community support, you would have read I'm really now on paragraph 14. So the council is continuing to support the community through the EOC, and paragraph 15, in terms of community's assessments, at the time of writing this report, the team had completed over 71 needs assessments. That is now well over 100. In terms of the legal considerations, as you've read, and we do have Tim Power to stand by, or on standby, but in terms of the council being able to refund a quarter of the fees for the alcohol licences, there is legislation that provides that you may do this for financial hardship, although that legislation doesn't actually exist. So legal counsel have fully reviewed our community support package and have raised no concerns, and have advised that we can defend this part of our community support package. In terms of tangata whenua considerations, as you would have read, that our iwi are, at the time of writing this report, they are working through their pandemic response plans. They are being supported by our EOC, as well as the council's iwi partnerships team, and working with Te Whakamininga o Kapiti, they have repurposed their budget, $90,000 of their current year financial budgets, and $30,000 has been paid to each iwi to help them as they also struggle through COVID-19. In terms of the exact costs of phase one, as the report says, we don't have the data from central governments showing us the uptake of members of our community with regards to their support packages. So at this stage, we simply cannot report to you with certainty what the phase one community support package is going to cost. Basic modelling is, as we believe, it's $233,000 plus. And we'll obviously continue to monitor that, and we'll report that back to you in financial updates that we do provide to the council. In terms of the subsequent phases of the community support package, so phase two and three being the restore and rebuild, we'll be working on what that may entail, and what that will include will largely depend on the cost of the phase one community support package, but it'll also depend on how our community is being impacted by COVID-19. And with each day, we become wiser to that as well. In terms of publicity, as I said, we did have a briefing with councillors on the 7th of February. This was agreed to in principle. And just before Easter, on Thursday the 9th, this was publicly announced. We have set up the infrastructure. You can contact the council to register your interest online or by telephone. So it is up and running. And as I said, we've already had 48 applications. So Mr. Mayor, thank you. That's my very quick overview of the paper, and I'll hand back to you.
Right. Councillor Angela Buswell, who is also portfolio holder for business and jobs, has signaled that she'd like to move the resolution, but before then we've got questions. First off is Jocelyn Pravnov, then Bernie Randall. Jocelyn.
So thank you, Mark, for running through that presentation. I just wanted to highlight paragraph 10, bullet point 9, which relates to the community boards. I know there's been quite a lot of discussion about whether or not funds are going to, unspent funds are going to be carried over to the following financial year. And I would like so we're actually going to be moving this later in this morning's proceedings. I'd like to potentially include another addition to that bullet point 9 or another clause there saying that any unspent funds will be carried over into the next financial year.
Thank you, Councillor. Yes, this has certainly come up before, and if it's the will of the council to make that recommendation, then we can certainly accommodate that. These grants that the community boards are repurposing are obviously funded by rates, and so we're certainly open to the unallocated grants being rolled over, carried over, but that's certainly your decision. We would be surprised if the community boards weren't repurposing all of their unallocated funds prior to 30th of June.
So I know with the Waikanae Community Board, there's maybe just under $30,000. And so I suppose it's quite important for the Waikanae Community Board to know where we sit, so we can either make a really good effort to go out there and try and spend the funds, or take a more a cautionary approach, knowing that it's going to be carried over for the following year.
So, Mark, do we need to change the resolution, the addition, or staff can do this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, yes, we will need to just draft an additional recommendation. So we will need to just pause for a couple of minutes. If we perhaps continue with questions, and we can draft some wording to put to.
Can I ask a question first, please, Mr. Mayor? A clarifying question of the councillor. Are you referring to the capital improvement fund?
No, so I'm referring to the promotion of Waikanae Fund and the discretionary fund. The Waikanae Capital Grants Fund is completely separate. That if that money's not spent, that is automatically rolled over.
Yeah, that was why I was asking, because it just adds to the principle. I was aware you had $30,000 left in the other.
Yeah, so that fund is slightly more than $30,000.
Capital improvement fund is, but the other two, yes.
So we got some figures yesterday, and I think, are you there, Jill? I think it's just below. We actually spent a bit of money yesterday, so it's maybe it's between 25,000 and 30,000.
So okay, staff are going to put some words together for an additional resolution. In the meantime, we've got the next question, Bernie Randall.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Mark, you talked about refunding a quarter of the fees for food, alcohol, and outdoor dining. But would you, these type of businesses are the most going to be most affected. Would you look at, say, suspending any fees for them until the end of the year? We'd go a bit further than what you have.
Thank you, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor. With this particular part, so the short answer is no. The phase one community support package is tabled before you in the report, and those are the component parts. Should council wish to change that, that's your decision to make today. That particular tranche, I can advise that the team are proactively contacting all those customers and refunding a 25% of those fees. That's one part of the community support package that we aren't waiting for those customers to contact us. So we're being very proactive in that space. And just a reminder that this is the first tranche of the community support package that came out very quickly. And there is a second tranche and a third tranche. And of course, when we consider what's included in those subsequent community support packages, we'll be looking at, are there any parts of the phase one that need to be extended or need to be changed and modified and enhanced?
Right, thank you.
Very good. Now, the next is Angela Buswell, then Rob McCann, then Janet Hobbs. Angela.
Thank you. Just in terms of repurposing funding in different council areas, we've done it with the community board. Is it possible to reallocate funds such as the events fund, particularly in that ED space, whether that could be repurposed to some kind of economic development grant kind of system? As we know that the events will not be taking place this side of Christmas, and yet most of our events are on this side of Christmas. Is it possible to easily do that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. All this is coming into the fold. Apologies for maybe repeating myself, but we are obviously we have set up the infrastructure for the first phase of the community support package. We are tallying up those costs. We are looking at what may or may not be included in package 2 and 3. So it's on the table at the moment. We're looking at everything. We are working under urgency. We did get the infrastructure set up very quickly so that the community can contact us to make use of the support package. So everything's on the table right now. And as we'll discuss in the next report, the draft annual plan, is that the work-ons between now and June is looking at what budgets could be repurposed to report back by the 4th of June.
That's great, thank you. And totally appreciate how you guys are working under the pump, so thank you.
Right, Rob McCann.
Thank you very much. One clarification with alcohol licences. Are we just referring to businesses or those people holding manager's certificates working in the area?
I may refer to Angela or Natasha on this, if that's okay.
Yes, you can. Kia ora tato. Yes, so we've had a look at the manager certificate issue and appreciate that there's been some questions in the community about that. It is a little different to the alcohol licences in the fact that a lot of the renewals in that space last for 3 years, so it's not an annual renew cycle like you might see for the alcohol licensing for businesses. It's also a little bit harder for us to target those who are specifically impacted. There are some certificate holders who still are able to work at the moment, whether they're working in supermarkets or elsewhere, and those who have certificates from our council aren't necessarily working in our district still, because these certificates transfer with the certificate holder. It's not tied to specific businesses, so it's a little bit harder and a little bit more blunt for us to be able to target the particular people that we would want to for a support package like this. So at the moment, our scope is to retain it at the alcohol licensing business space rather than the personal manager certificate space.
Thank you.
Right, General Holbrook.
I waited to be unmuted. There we are. Thank you for this report, and I think it's really wonderful the quick work that's been done to support our community through this part of the package. I just wanted a bit of clarification on point 15 around our welfare line. Could I have an update about, I understand there's a number of relationships that have been developed with community organisations to respond to those needs assessments. Could I have a wee bit of an update on that, because there's no kind of information on what happens to those needs assessments once they're carried out in the report.
Who's responding to that?
I'll respond, Mr. Mayor. We're probably not really able to give you a detailed answer because that's all happening out of the EOC, and as far as I know, James is not online today. But if you are okay, we'll just, it does come out in the daily updates that we're getting, but if you'd like some more information than that, we'll get something to circulate to you.
So I'm more concerned that the report is for public consumption as well, and I think members of the public might be interested in what's happening with those service requests and things. So it's not just for my own information, but also in terms of the kind of the information getting out there, because there's no mention of it there could be a presumption that we're also carrying out the on the ground work when that might not be the case. Another question I had was, very unfortunately, some businesses and members of the community, particularly businesses, have been identified during the government's response as taking advantage of some of these offers of support in terms of businesses that don't need rent holidays, asking for them and things like that. So how are we ensuring that we're targeting this help to the right people?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. Look, one of the key points really of the community support package is it's not open to everyone. The qualifying criteria is people must be struggling financially due to COVID-19. And when they aren't required to provide financial statements or chapters and verse and lots of documentation. So it's being assessed on a case by case basis in terms of how do we know that we're targeting the people that are really struggling. We have made a public announcement that we have it. Between issuing this report, we've gone from 18 to 48. We know that our community boards are advocating in the community and raising the awareness of the support package that we have. And our sort of starting position is that this is to support those in the community that are struggling. And the qualifying criteria are set very low as appropriate.
Thank you.
Martin Holliday.
Hi, I have four things, but firstly, well, the fourth one is just leading on from what Janet said. Just having a look at the points 8, 9 and 10, it's not really very clear that these packages are for specifically targeted people that are in hardship by COVID-19. I'm sure we could assume that would be the case. But how that to me reads, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that that's sort of a general package that generally everyone can apply to and generally will get a response to. So there might just need to be a little bit of a playing around in the wording with that, clarifying that it is for those that are specifically impacted by the COVID-19 situation, because we know that there are businesses that are and there are businesses that are not as well. One thing I did want to comment on was the regards to the point around the major tenants getting a rent return. I just wanted to voice that there's more than likely small tenants, and I could be corrected on this, that are perhaps in more hardship than perhaps major tenants. It could be people that are renting halls or such like. I look at the Ocean Road place as being an example. That could perhaps use relief in these areas rather than just major tenants. Is there a way to sort of incorporate?
Okay, Martin, can you just pause there and then see whether Mark has got an answer for that question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Thank you, Councillor. Paragraph 10 of the report does actually say that the support package is for those that are struggling financially due to COVID-19. That's what we have on our website. So there's a very, very fine balancing act that we need to play here. We know in good times, we know where we've had rates remissions for financial hardship. The wording that we've used there has actually put people off. People haven't wanted to apply for it. So we definitely want to help those in the community that need it. It is for those that are struggling financially. We don't want to overplay it. It is stated on the website in the report. And as I said, the qualifying criteria has been deliberately set low so that we can help those that need it. It is not open to everyone. If you aren't struggling financially and don't need additional support from the council, then you wouldn't be applying that. So no, it's not a support package that's open to the entire community. It is open to those that are struggling financially due to COVID-19. In terms of the major tenants, this is a multi-stage approach to make sure that we help those. And the major tenants, there is qualifying criteria on there. One of them is the tenants that spend more than $2,000 a month. Absolutely take your point that those, there will be smaller tenants that are struggling as well. And that's precisely why this is a multi-stage community support package.
Thank you for that, Mark. Because I did make a note here, I assume that these, and this is a general feeling I've been getting in all the conversations we've had, that this is under constant review as we're all moving forward, because the situation still is unfolding.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Absolutely, Councillor. This is constantly being monitored and under review.
Yeah, great. The second thing, through you, Mr. Mayor, is Grey Power asked in their letter coming through for a consideration of extending the penalty holiday with regards to rates. I'm assuming that would sort of get picked up in this ongoing review sort of scenario. Would that be correct?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, that's correct, Councillor. That will certainly be monitored closely.
The third thing is just building on what Jocelyn was saying in regards to the rollover. I didn't quite get the answer where that's happening. From our perspective as a community board, we are still seeing this or looking at this as an unfolding situation and want to be wary about where we are putting our spend, that it's not a knee-jerk reaction spend, because there is a lot of government support there as well. So we'd be very interested in being able to roll our funds over to make sure that we can, you know, make the most most benefit, if you like, for our community when the time we feel is right.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. I have sent some draft wording to Tanita that she can hopefully, if it's the will of the council to move that recommendation, we have some draft wording for you. I think the key point to raise is it does make sense to carry over unallocated grants from this year to the next. I think that I do need to labour the point that, again, this is unprecedented as well. This is OPEX funding that we don't actually roll over from one year to the next. So, again, this is in response to COVID-19, that if community boards aren't able to repurpose those grants, should you vote on it today, then you'll have that ability. But it's not something we normally do, and it's just, again, another sign that we are responding quite differently to COVID-19.
And thank you for that, Mark, because my view would be that it would only be for this year. It would not be something that would be ongoing. But thank you for your responses.
Councillor James Good.
Good morning, Mark. Nice to see you again. I've just got three questions. Councillor Randall raised the question around the health licences, etc., and potentially extending that. I'm not too sure whether that's going to be put on the table for us to vote for, but if it was, I'm going to assume that staff haven't prepared the actual cost of that. Could you please clarify if we know, in case that is put to council to vote for, what the cost is, or if you have that information?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. No, we wouldn't have costed the extension of that. At the moment, we've just got a rough estimate. The cost of 25% of those refunds will be in the vicinity of $38,000. That's a very rough estimate. So, again, if you're wanting to make changes to the support package that's already out in the public, that's your decision to do so today. But we haven't costed up much more of that. We are simply waiting for applications to come in and working through the cost of it each and every day.
Thank you. So the answer is we don't have any further financial detail around extending that package further.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's correct, Councillor.
Can I add a comment, please, Mr. Mayor? The point we've been trying to emphasise is the support package one dealt with the period through to 30th of June. I don't really see that it would be right for us to fund next year's costs out of this year's budget. So what we're trying to say to you is the next time we come to you with what the next round of support looks like, it will be for next financial year out of next financial year's budget. So that's why we're delineating it as at 30 June. So we're not saying we don't see that need building, but we are saying that the appropriate time for us to do that is out of next year's budget.
Thank you, Wayne. And if I could be clear, I definitely agree with the approach. And just wanted to but make sure that we're in a good position to make decisions if it comes up later in the meeting to proceed with that suggestion. The second one I have is around the rates relief we already have in place, which is the 204,000, and also the water relief, which is 175,000. This is prior to COVID-19, as staff know. Are we relaxing the criteria on that in light of COVID-19?
May I just briefly speak to that? It's Jacinta speaking. What Anna, everyone, in general, I guess, in terms of that sort of rough 200,000 that's provided through the budget currently to support those that are in suffering hardship due to rates, at the moment that pull on that fund is almost oversubscribed already. In terms of applications that we've sent out there and the number of applications we've received in terms of people really struggling and needing some help. In terms of repurposing it, absolutely we would look to do that, but at this stage I think we are trying to make sure that we don't oversubscribe that existing funding of 200,000.
Thank you, Jacinta. Lastly, and look, I might be wrong in raising this now, so I'm happy to be corrected. But in the previous discussions, we've talked about the 250K recovery package, and I don't see that outlined in this paper. Should it be, or am I wrong in the sense that it comes later?
That's next year's budget, Councillor. This is funding out of this year's budget.
Thank you, Wayne.
That is part of the annual plan.
Thank you. I didn't think I saw it in there either. But look, I'll have a closer look as we go through the meeting, and I have no further questions.
Okay, Sophie Hanford.
I just wanted to really briefly, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, so feel free to tell me, Guru, if this isn't the right space to say this. But I just wanted to thank the staff for their work in this area, especially in the welfare space. With being involved with self-isolation support and now having that support from staff working alongside the newly established student volunteer army. So now all of the grocery requests are going through there, and there's a great partnership being formed between that student volunteer army group and the EOC and the staff at council. So I just wanted to say that we really appreciate that, and I know the community appreciates it. So it's cool to see some community and council collaboration on some of this stuff really starting to happen. So, not really appreciating, but.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure the staff appreciate that acknowledgement. Can we have the resolutions, including the new one, on the screen?
There we go.
Okay, and the new one is resolution
number 34.
Right, and I know Councillor Buswell wanted to move this. Councillor Buswell, do you want to move it and then introduce the resolutions, and then we can go on to debate?
I'll move recommendations number 29 through to 34.
Can I have a seconder for that?
Yes, I'll second that.
You need to put your hand up. So, Jocelyn Pravnov.
Yeah, can we clarify? I thought the process was that we put our hand up when we were going to second a resolution.
That's rather right.
Than verbally do so, which I'd done, but happy for Jocelyn to second this, but just clarifying the process.
Thanks. I think I'd signal to everybody that you put your hand up and I have a seconder to move it. So, Martin Holliday, did you put your hand up first? So, seconded by Martin Holliday, moved by Councillor Buswell, seconded by Martin Holliday. Councillor Buswell, do you want to speak on the resolution? Councillor Boswell, do you want to speak to the resolution?
Yes, I would, thank you. I would just like to acknowledge that in this phase one, it certainly points out that we are all in this together. And no.
Sound has gone off.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Angela.
I'm sorry, I have unmuted myself, so I don't know why no one can hear me.
I can hear you. Everybody can hear Angela?
Yes.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, Councillor.
Oh, great, okay. Do I want to speak to the recommendations? No.
Okay, so it's now open for debate. Anybody? Martin Holliday, and then Jocelyn.
Okay, Carden. I just wanted to say that
this is getting difficult. What's happened? So Angela, you're not speaking to it. So now it's open for debate. Martin Holliday, do you want to debate this?
No. I'm actually, I was just putting my hand up to support the motion. I guess building on what Angela was saying, she was saying that they were all, what she's seeing is that we're all in this together. I certainly have been getting that feeling with regards to what I've been hearing through the briefings. And I'm looking forward to working with senior management, all council staff, our community and fellow councillors as we move forward in this area, very uncertain times. And I'm liking what I'm seeing so far, but I think we've still got a long way to go. I know we've got a long way to go. I'll be supporting this as it stands. Thank you.
Jocelyn Prabno.
Thank you. So I just actually like to ask a question in relation to, I think it was paragraph 34, the screen's now disappeared. The fact that that money, if it's carried over, is to be used for COVID-19. So I just want to ask the question, what people actually think about the fact that...
Councillor Jocelyn, we are now in debate point. Your time for questions have gone.
I would like to suggest that paragraph 34 doesn't have the caveat that it's repurposed for COVID-19.
Councillor Pravnov, the motions, the recommendations have been moved and seconded. We are now in debate.
Okay.
So I'd like to move an amendment to the motion 34.
Yep.
So it just reads, the council approves the community boards to carry over any unspent 2019-20 grants to 2020-21, full stop.
Is that accepted by the mover?
If it's accepted,
yes, yes, I'm happy with that.
But it would have to be accepted by the mover, who's bus.
Yeah, the mover accepted it.
Or else we can move the amendment and then vote on that.
Angela, you've accepted the change.
I'm happy to accept that change, Janet.
Fantastic. Just in terms of providing a little bit of reasoning, it's hard to know exactly what is a purpose for COVID-19 and what isn't. So, you know, anything to do with recovery or community building or anything like that. So I'm sort of simple, and then it allows the community boards that freedom to rebuild their communities as they see fit.
Right, so we're just going to do we have a seconder for that amendment?
It's been accepted by the mover and the seconder. As long as Martin accepted it as well, I don't think we need a mover and a seconder.
opportunity. Right, so I'm going to put the amendment to the floor. All those in favor for the amendment 34, press the button yes, and those who are against, press no.
Who's the seconder for the amendment? Was that Jocelyn?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got Mr. Halliday. So is it Councillor Halliday or Councillor Pravanagh?
Doesn't worry me as long as I am happy with the amendments.
Okay, look.
So I have Councillor Buswell and Councillor Halliday moving and seconding the amendment, and I have 9 votes yes and 0 votes no.
So we can't have the mover of this substantive motion also moving the amendment. So we're either, so there's two options as I see it procedurally, and I'd be happy to be corrected by the Chief Executive or the Mayor. The first one is that the mover and the seconder just accept the amendment, in which case we don't need a vote, or we have a mover and a seconder of the amendment, which would have to be two different people, the substantive motion, and then we vote on that.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct, Councillor. Listening, my understanding was the mover and seconder of the original motions were happy with the amendment you proposed, so that's part of the substantive motion. It's not an amendment. So the substantive motion is 29 to 34 with the struck out piece here that you can see.
So we need to vote on it.
Seconded by Councillor Halliday.
So he's been accepted by Buswell and Halliday, so he becomes part and parcel of the substantive motion. Am I right?
That's correct.
So the voting is superfluous in the sense. So we go back now to the substantive motion.
Which I think you did vote on, but it's, if you'd like to be comfortable, you can do it again.
Yes. No. So we are moving all resolutions 29 to 34. Can we have it back on the screen, please? Moved by Councillor Buswell and seconded by Councillor Halliday. Can we just redo that one, please? All those in favour say yes, and those again say no.
I can't.
Okay.
We currently have 10 yes votes and 0 no votes.
Okay, that's moved. Thank you very much. And I'm going to report 8.2, the 2020-21 of annual plan. The reporting officer, Chris Pierce, manager of corporate planning and reporting.
Mr. Chair, it had been suggested that you take a break after that report. I don't know if you wish to or not, but you should advise me.
Because this one is going to take longer, right?
I'm not sure. It looks like there's a lot of nods.
Yeah, what would 10 minutes be, right? I think so.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, we just had a comment from Councillor Elliott. I don't know if she still wanted to debate.
Well, debate what?
Yeah, no.
She just said that her vote wasn't counted.
Was that right? Didn't she?
The second time it was put to the vote, no. But it has been moved and voted on, so you can't take it.
So, yeah, it's been moved and voted on, and we're finished with the item. We're on to the next one.
Yeah.
And sorry about that. But now we're taking a 10-minute break. 11:30. Would that be fine?
11:30.
Yeah. So we're back at 11:30.
If participants could just mute themselves and turn their video screens off and then not log out.